sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, January 23rd, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Now don't be nervous, Howard. Just remember, everything depends on this.
My name's not Howard, but I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Michael Henry is back with us again today for part two of his twofer appearance for both the Erotic Mind and the Sex Education series. He is an up-and-coming photographer with a mighty big, fat, uncut talent. He's also pretty gall-darn kinky, too, and it shows in his work, don't you know? But wait, you didn't miss part one of our conversation, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you will find it and all of my shows in the podcast archive on drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 316, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
Howard, you know what I'm talking about. After all, you are a man.
I am a man, but please stop calling me Howard. Michael has another delightful gallery of some of his work for us to enjoy, so don't miss that. It also accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. For more of Michael and his amazing photography, visit his website, sinisterbrain.com. You can also find him on Facebook, FetLife, and Twitter, too. I'll post those links in today's podcast posting.
It's me, Howard Bannister, your fiancé.
I had no idea I had a fiancé named Howard Bannister. But alrighty then. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this series, the Dr. Dick Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to the Dr. Dick Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Michael Henry, welcome back to drdicksexadvice.com. And it's so good to have you back because I got some really great feedback from last week's show, and everyone was clamoring for more Michael Henry, myself included. So, welcome.
Hi, nice to be back.
We covered lots of ground last week, and I'm delighted about that, but there's way more ground to be covered. And so I want to pick up precisely where we left off last week. We were talking about bondage and gender and the cultural implications thereof. So I want to ask you, who are your mentors in photography and BDSM? list.
I've had lots of inspirations, but not a lot of mentors in my life.
Is that right? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It was only in the last... Actually, I guess it's been a little over a year. I've been hanging out with a guy named Malix, who you know.
Yes.
And who's an excellent photographer, very, very good at capturing the emotions of people, especially in couples in photography.
Right.
And so I've been working with him and studying his work, but... he's about the closest I've come to an actual mentor.
And even
the BDSM world, it was the same thing. I've got actually the BDSM world, I paid for a lot of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty much no individual mentor. It's just a lot of trial and error, and thankfully not too much error.
Good, good, good. I know that you tweet often about the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. How are you involved in that?
I was actually accepted last year as an artist.
Oh, good for you. No kidding.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, my first showing.
Yeah.
This year I decided for the last few years I've been participating in more as a party, but this year I decided to spend a little more time volunteering. So
oh,
I'm
cool.
working in the back end stuff, infrastructure administration.
Of course you are. That back end stuff. Don't you know?
Don't we all like working at back end stuff?
I know I do. Well, you're surrounded by wonderful, wonderful people, a lot of whom who have been guests on my shows, and it's, you know, Clayton Hibbert and Sophia Sky, and of course Elena Gabosch, and so it's a wonderful program, and I'm glad that you were a participant last year.
Well, it's really, really nice to help out, and it's something that's just amazing.
Right.
And for those of you listeners who have never been to the Seattle Erotic Art Festival, it is a hoot.
It is. And this year, it's in June, and it's over 2 weekends, right?
Oh, yeah. I think, total of 5 days. So it's going to be 2 days for the Fremont Solstice Parade. It'll be open 2 days, and it'll be open for 3 days over the following weekend.
Which
and
is
the first weekend is more of a... the first weekend is more of like an art exhibit,
mm-hmm.
but the second weekend is in traditional C fashion, where it's an art exhibit during the day, but at night it's very much a party and a
bacchanal is the word
yeah.
you're looking for.
lots of live performances, lots
uh-huh.
of people wearing sexy outfits, good music, hopefully good food again this year. That was something they introduced last year.
Alrighty, so. This comes at a rather strange time in our conversation. Probably should have been at the beginning, but now that it's time, can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself, where you were born, raised, schools. Do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Do you have a wife, a partner, a pet, perhaps more than one of these things? That kind of stuff.
My name is Mike. I was born on the East Coast. Grew up mostly around New York City area.
Uh-huh.
Joined 3 years in the military. Was
wow.
on a ship with 5,500 men and no women for 3 years.
Bad luck for you.
I don't know. My a couple of my best friends there were gay, and they
mm-hmm.
were just absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
But and they had a great time with it. So, what am I saying?
So, when did you come to Seattle?
Actually, 4 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, I my ex and I of 8 years broke up, and I was living in Denver at the time and decided, what do I want to do? And a job offer popped up in Seattle, and I moved in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So, it was, I moved here, no friends, no family. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's how I did it, too.
Sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah. Right.
It's really, I think the thing that surprised me most about Seattle is I posted on a journal on this dating site called OkCupid, saying what's the kinky scene like in Seattle, and I think it was within about an hour I had about 20 comments on there going go check out the wet spot.
Right.
And so my first weekend here I did, and I started meeting people there, and that's my social circle,
right.
That and the burner community.
Mm. Interesting.
But as for the other questions. Never really liked muscle magazines. I don't know. That's my personal thing. Gladiator movies, on the other hand, yeah, they can be a lot of fun.
wife, partner, pets?
Yeah, I got a partner I've been with for 3 years now. She is my biggest supporter. Probably more excited about me being interviewed by you than anybody else. And she's also my biggest muse. So, but. We are polyamorous, but currently not dating or see anybody else. And
well, when do you have time, my dear? My goodness. I was going to say, when do you get time to touch yourself impurely?
Oh, I get that all the time.
Oh, good. Working it in, so to speak, as it were.
You know, it's one of the things that always surprised me is it seems like the more sexual activity you get in my life, the more I actually want to masturbate.
Oh, go. Yeah, but
inappropriate comment. Anyway.
Not at all. There's no such thing on Dr. Dick's Sex Life. Really? If anyone's going to be inappropriate, it's got to be me. So.
Oh, okay. I'll delegate that back
to you. It's my fucking show. So there. So as a photographer, I know that you photograph other stuff that wouldn't commonly be thought of as erotic. We talked about this a little bit last week. So let me ask you, what makes your erotic art different from the other artistic work that you do, besides the obvious?
Well, I think the erotic work, it's actually a really good question. The erotic work I've been working on, I've been trying to evaluate it recently of what makes it erotic.
Uh-huh.
And
that's very interesting.
Oh yeah, and the idea of how people perceive erotic work varies from person to person.
It's so true.
And so if I create a piece of work, it's erotic for me. It doesn't mean it's erotic for anybody else.
Right.
And so that's what I've been trying to do versus taking pictures of food or cityscapes at night and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd say the erotic art, I'm trying to take in a different direction and not just make something I think is erotic, trying to capture what other people think is erotic.
Hmm.
And it's going to take me a while, but it'll be a fun experience.
Right. Are you getting feedback from people? You said last week that you sometimes post images on photography sites and people either respond positively or not so much positively. Is that helpful to you? Are you learning what turns people on or what turns their crank or
I found the best way to get any feedback from anybody is in person.
You do get
a lot of feedback online, but it's not usually negative or not usually constructive, and I don't mean this to be negative for the feedback I do get, but it's a lot of people say, hey, I love this photo, and then you post something else and nobody will comment on it or say anything. And so learning is very much learning in a vacuum, because you are just judging based upon positive feedback, and then you're also trying to increase your technical competence based upon what you think is wrong.
Right.
And I think I took that answer in a different direction than you were going.
Stop doing that.
But one of the neat things is if you are lucky enough to have people that in your life that are very visually talented, you can ask them for input, and that's what I usually end up doing.
Okay.
But it only really works in person. Otherwise, it's online. It kind of looks like you're attention whoring when you're saying, "Hey, can you comment on this?"
So many of my other guests in this series have weighed in on the topic of erotica versus pornography. Can I ask you for your thoughts? Is there much of a difference between the two in your mind? And if so, where is the line? He giggled.
I've been trying to evaluate where I stand on this, because I've noticed it varies.
Yes.
It varies within my own mind, let alone other people's perspectives. My own mind, I found myself enjoying bondage where people were fully covered up and not naked, and and at the same time, then I don't like like images of people having sex.
Yeah.
I don't find that erotic at all.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
It's really really hard to answer that when my own opinion varies, and and I'm finding it varies a lot.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you have a sense that you find things more erotic if you are your libido is high, if you're horny?
Ooh,
more Fifth Amendment.
I found certain things. If I see them, they turn me on.
Uh-huh.
And so my libido doesn't have to be high, and I get turned on just by watching it or just by seeing it. And then there are other times where, I guess my opinion of an image does change based upon where my libido is.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your chosen media. You say that you shoot digitally, and that you're learning film. What's the difference between the two?
Instant gratification.
Oh, it's so true. I've heard that from other people too.
And there's you talk to anybody who learned film first and then digital, and they usually don't have a lot of respect for somebody who learned on digital unless they've proven themselves. And I can understand now learning film why, because you have to think about all of the details ahead of time and put it all together and take the photo and then wait to see how it came out.
Right.
And whereas on digital, I would not have gotten where I am at with photography if I had learned on film in the same amount of time.
Right.
Because on digital, I could take a photo and say, oh, the lighting doesn't look right, adjust the light, take another picture, say, oh, okay, that looks better. Okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's very, very different. It is really nice, though, once you start shooting film, the discipline that you get. Because you have to know every detail. You have to think of every detail ahead of time. And if you forgot something, you have to wait that much longer before you can go back and do it again.
Right. Huh. And that, I think that's fascinating. Would you hold to the old adage that a picture or an image is worth a thousand words?
I'd say it varies from person to person. But maybe even more.
Ah, interesting.
Did you have you heard of Jim Duvall?
Yes, absolutely. I pitched him for this show. You know, he's been too busy.
Oh, he'd be a wonderful person to have on. But he actually he has a journal entry that he wrote, and he could probably tell you more about it. But he had a picture of what looked like a woman submitting to a man, and this is I guess similar to our conversation before about submission.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed it to a room full of people and asked for their response. And you know, first people were starting to saying, oh, well, you know, she's submitting, that's not good, that's sexist and
right.
This and that, and a bunch of negative stuff. And then he turned it around and said that told the class what's going on in the photo. And what it was is somebody that transferred from being a woman to a man, and the photo was symbolizing, and they were both him.
Oh wow!
Post and pre-op, and
oh.
It was photo. They were photoshopped together, and it was symbolizing him or her transferring her identity to him.
Oh, how fascinating!
And then all of a sudden, the energy in the room would change.
Yeah.
And that, they're going, oh my God, that's so beautiful, and he can give you a lot more detail on this. But
right.
When I read that story, that actually affected me a lot because of how much you can convey with a simple photo,
right.
Especially when either people don't know what's going on, or if they do know what's going on, you could even guide them.
Right. Interesting. So today, erotic artists abound, and although in some circles this genre is still not accepted as mainstream. Has this been your experience? Has anyone denigrated you for the work that you do? Like, you're such a talented photographer, but what's up with all the naked ladies in rope?
I haven't received a lot of negative feedback directly. Like I said, I've been moderated from a website.
Yeah.
I had somebody on another website, DeviantArt, had a picture of a couple having sex, but it's lit up in a way that you can't tell if they're having
yeah.
sex or not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he basically reported me to DeviantArt, and it turned into a little bit of a flame war in the comments.
Wow.
But aside from that, I don't get a lot of negative feedback yet, and I'm sure at some point I will.
Hmm.
It's bound to happen. But
yeah.
I noticed that with anybody who really produced erotic art, is eventually it happens.
Yes. Absolutely, and the more obvious you become in the culture, the more of a target you are, it seems to me. So now that you're doing this interview, I suspect you're going to get a lot of hate mail.
Oh, darn.
And I'm going to be writing some of it, don't you know? Oh, I love it. Is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something that you personally don't find sexy?
I've been finding yes.
Is that right? How? Tell me.
Well, I guess I've been on a journey for the last few months now of trying to understand the philosophies and perceptions around erotic art, and the more that I take photos and understand that what other people enjoy, I've been finding myself finding other people's images erotic. In it's fetishes I don't do and things I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marlon Brando just blew my mind. And I will openly admit I'm hetero, I'm sorry, but
me too.
His photos are amazing, and they're sexy, and they're something
true.
Else.
Yeah.
And there's somebody I ran into on DeviantArt who's a foot fetishist.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, he's an excellent photographer,
yeah.
And so feet don't turn me on.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like any other part of the body. I was looking at his photos, and there, he just captures the beauty in what he finds sexy and feet. Mm-hmm. And I just found myself clicking through his gallery going, wow, that's amazing. And so, yeah, yeah. I think I want to work with more stuff that challenges my perceptions.
Hmm. Interesting.
Just because of that.
Yeah, right. So there are obvious erotic triggers, such as fetish wear, corsets, jock straps, breasts, nipples, cocks and pussies, certain language poses, etc. Do you think that one can sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature and food and everyday clothing?
Oh, wow.
Well, you do that with your food, I think. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but, you know, I think your food photography is extraordinarily sexy.
Oh, thank you. It's I think the thing is I'm really, really passionate about food, even though I'm not. It's not sexual for me.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I guess it is possible. It's just you have to be passionate about what you're taking pictures of.
Mm-hmm.
And I love taking night photographs of stuff.
Yes, that's true enough too. I love it. Gosh.
So I'm actually at a loss of words.
Okay. Well, that's good. Do you look to work with a particular body type?
I try to challenge myself not to. That being said, if you notice, most of my erotic work is of my partner. Mm-hmm. But when I post the few times I have posted casting calls now, I've posted saying, you know, if there is a specific body type I need for this shoot because of an image,
right,
then I'll say it. But generally speaking, I try to keep myself open for genders and body types.
Right. Interesting.
Everybody has something to contribute beauty-wise, and yeah. I want to work with them.
Right. Are there topics that you gravitate toward or topics that you avoid? That's a dumb question. All right.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of bondage and kink. I think I might like taking those photos. Mm. Things I like to avoid. Haven't figured that out yet. Definitely legal stuff. But,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I'd like to try a lot of things, even if I haven't enjoyed it before. Right. Maybe I will.
Yeah. What do you look for in the erotic art of others?
I want to see that they love it.
Ah.
And I want to see even if it's a really cold, detached image. There's actually, I'm going to make a quick digression. You ever see like an image that is very warm and sexy and connected?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see another erotic image. It's sort of cold and detached and mm-hmm. almost too artistic.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you'll find in common, at least in my opinion, is the people that love their creations or love doing it for the sake of creating it
mm-hmm.
all have a certain feel to their images.
Hmm.
Or even if it's written art or whatever kind of art it is, you can always tell when a person loves it versus somebody who's doing it because this is what they've always done and maybe they want to make money doing it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So back to something we touched on just briefly a little while ago. Who inspires you and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
Inspires me. There are a ton of photographers I'm inspired by currently. One of which is Malik's mentioned before,
yes.
Jim Duval. A couple people that I don't know their names outside of FetLife, but Mr. Lamour. By the way, if you haven't been on FetLife, actually join. It's a great kinky community.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm going to have a link to your FetLife profile in the posting for today, so there'll be that.
Awesome. I hope more people join and they enjoy the site and join our community.
Good.
So, sexual heroes. I think anybody out there who's open and comfortable with their sexuality, it takes, I've learned the hard way, it takes a lot to just come out and be comfortable with yourself with sexuality, mm-hmm. let alone be open to others. So anybody who's out there comfortable with your sexuality, oh my God, you're my hero. You're doing something I've wanted to do for years and only recently started doing.
God, that's wonderful. So one final question. What does the future hold for you and your work?
I haven't decided yet, but I'm trying to figure that out as I go.
Mm-hmm.
No grand plan. I just want to have fun.
Okay, good. I like that. So then give us your website address again and walk us around. Tell us what we can find there.
It's sinisterbrain.com. It's spelled exactly like it sounds. It's just a basic portfolio website right now, and you can look at some of my pictures and contact me with shortly, possibly by time this is even on the air, I'll have a new website up that's a blog where I can write about my perceptions of erotic art and stuff like that.
Cool. And we can follow you on Twitter, and you're on Facebook too. I like that. I like that a lot.
Twitter, Facebook, FetLife.
wherever.
I try to join every social network and at least spend 5 minutes on it, but Twitter and FetLife are my two big ones.
Yeah, I love the Twitter feed, so there you go.
Thank you.
Well, Michael, I really, really appreciate you taking so much of your precious time with us. We are all the richer for the experience. I love getting to know you right along with our audience. And I hope to be able to actually meet you. We live in the same town. Isn't that odd that we haven't really met? But I hope that changes someday soon.
Well, I'm sure we will. I think we know a lot of the same people.
Right. All righty, kiddo. Thank you so much again. And we will be visiting you in cyberspace until we speak again.
Thank you.
Thanks, kiddo. Bye now. What a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for another edition of the Erotic Mind series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom.
Don't you know the meaning of propriety?
Well, the way you say that, I'm going to guess that I don't know what the meaning of propriety is. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you just better call out the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. And look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in the particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your podcast sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me through my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.